Well, I feel very needy this morning. Very grateful that the Lord is a great God of love. And I'm grateful that He has expressed that love by sending His only Son. We surely thank the Lord for being able to be here together this morning and the sweet spirit that we find here today. The stories that I hear coming from your mouths of salvation, the hope that I hear in the songs, the joy that we feel in our hearts this morning. And when I saw the young people get up here this morning and sing their song, I almost asked them to sing my song, 223, and I wanted to ask them to sing it like I mean it. I didn't do that, but I was really glad to see how they got up here this morning. You notice, I thank the Lord for every young lady that's here, but I was glad that they outnumbered you the other side. I was glad. I hope, young ladies, I don't want you to feel you're very special, and I thank the Lord for that. But I want to see our young men. Oh, and I look at those young men, and I really want you to make it. I want you to be successful in your walk with the Lord. I want you to fight your battles, because the devil will make sure you're going to have battles. And I want you to get your victories and to stand up and be able to hold your head up, yes, not in your own personal pride, but in the very grace of God. Yes. That you stand as a God-conquered man. Yes. Stand very grateful that the God of heaven has met you and you gained your victories. And you can hold your head up high in a world that's trying to tear you down, that's trying to bring you into subjection to the torments and the temptations of this world. Young men, give your heart to God. Gain your victories. Don't let the devil bring you into subjection to anything. I didn't bring my phone up here. I was going to hold it up and say, also, don't let the devil bring you in subjection to the phone. That's right. Or anything that's unclean, that's unholy. Right. All the world needs men and women that's able to stand up God conquered. And when I say God conquered, I hope that doesn't have a bad sound to you, because to me it is the greatest place that we can live in. Subjection. How does subjection, what, this bondage of love that sets us perfectly free? Bondage, love, freedom. Almost sounds like a dichotomy, but it's really not when we come as a love slave to our Lord. It's such a wonderful place to live and a way to live our lives. It doesn't take away from any of your manly courage or virtue. In fact, it enhances every bit of it. It'll help young men to be, it'll fit them to be leaders in a home, to know how to raise their children, to know how to set good examples. And I just want to really encourage you. And when I see the young men, the young people get up here, I want to tell you, I'm very encouraged when I see that. Yes. And I want you to go right on until your crown is won. Fight that fight of faith till life on earth is, yes, done. Never more turn back. Defeat, don't know. For God will give you victory if onward you go. Yes. Very grateful for His love and mercy to us here this morning. Well, we have in Matthew, the 13th chapter, a I believe that's where I'm wanting. Yes, here we are. Oh, I thought it was. It's parable of the sower. There it is. The 24th verse is where I'm looking for. I was fixated on the 18th verse, and I really want to be on the 24th verse. 24th verse, we want to read some of these words of Jesus this morning, and I want to note also that part of what was mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning about the gospel message and all that we have to share with the world around us. You know, we see people many times that are bound and they're going through those places of great regret and sorrow and beaten down to the point that they feel like they just really can't go on. That's not what the gospel says. And the gospel wants us to be able, God wants us to be able to reach out through the gospel and help others to see hope. We can use the gospel and go out there and tell people, this is what the Bible says, and you might be exactly right with every word that you say, but God would like our words to be seasoned with grace. The salt of the very word of God, the salt of the very character of the one who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish and have but have everlasting life. So may the Lord help us as we interact with the world around us and we see the hurting people around us, that we have the very kindness and character of Christ within our soul, that when we go out and interact with them, that the word that comes from us, the character, the who we are, might reach out to them and they might see hope. Recently, at home, there was a man that would come out to the shop every once in a while. We enjoyed him coming. And the other day, I didn't know it, but he had evidently felt like he was at the end of his hope. And he's not with us anymore. People that we know. And so I go away with a cry in my heart, Lord, help us to be a minister of hope. Because that's part of the gospel. Part of the very gospel. When I hear Sister Baxter shared this morning, and that's a horrible grief to know that some of your kinfolk have been taken out with such violent ways. We live in a world that seems to be almost overtaken with hatred and violence, and a direction is headed away from the Lord. And I want to tell you today, what God has given us is a great message of hope. God help us to be able to minister to those around us that hope. Well, let's read here these words of Jesus, these words that mean so much to us. Another parable, 24th verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Maybe I need to read that again because I'm not sure I did it right. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. I'd like to now go back through this parable that he shared, Jesus shared with the people. It was intended to do some teaching to them. His words, Jesus' words, are important, was very important to them back there. And it's important to you and I today. And as we look back into this parable, I would like to start picking up some points that I believe God would have us to recognize for ourselves today. The kingdom of heaven. This is one of the things that Jesus began to teach. He sent his disciples out with a message of the kingdom. And I understand that there are general ideas out there of an upcoming kingdom in the future. And I understand there's that a lot of times we are taught and raised in this idea that there's a kingdom coming up. And in our mind, we're thinking about he's going to come back and he's going to exercise such authority over all these other kingdoms. And the president of the United States is going to be subject to him and all the other kingdoms of the world. And he's going to exercise such great authority. Did you know the kingdom of God is within you? And I want to encourage you today to see a greater kingdom than one that comes in carnal power. I want to encourage you to see a king that came to bring a kingdom that is within my very heart and came to especially exert spiritual power over those things that would stain my soul. God wants you and I to be free today in the Lord. He doesn't want us to testify to the world that I got saved, but yet I am a slave to my old master. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We can thank the Lord, and I'm grateful for forgiveness and His salvation for us. But God wants us to go from here in the freedom that He has brought, His kingship in our lives. He is big enough and able enough to cause you and I to live free from the old sinful ways. We don't have to see ourselves as a slave to our old master any longer because the King has come. And He loves you enough to deal with where you are today. In your struggles that you find, the places. Oh, He must have loved me a lot. He must have loved me a lot. Because I've had my times and my struggles. But I want to tell you, when we meet those places, there's a way of handling that. And it's not the sense of, I'm done and I give up, I quit. I want to encourage you to never give up. And never quit. And when you find some of those places in your life, this is how you handle it. Acknowledge it to God. Bring it to Him and say, I'm sorry. You know, many times a process of growing in grace has to do with you and I recognizing God reveals places in you and I that He wants to purge. And many times we can't even see those until by His very mercy He brings us to a place of revelation that we understand it. And a lot of times, I don't know, I believe that you do know, that as we walk with the Lord in our progress and walking and growing in Him, we will find places in our life that I recognize, all of a sudden I see this in me, and I feel embarrassed that I just now saw it, and I've lived with the Lord all these many years, and have to realize that other people saw that all along. And then I begin again to realize that God so loved that He could have cut me off at any moment, though I didn't know. But yet His love was there to teach and to grow you and I. And to cause you and I to get to where we can walk uprightly. Now His salvation is to come to make us holy now. And in this holy walk, there's places that we recognize places still to be laid on the altar. I die daily, you see. I come and I yield every day to the Lord. And that's the way the Lord wants it. That's what Paul said. And that's what the Lord wants you and I to identify with. It. I too, when we wake up in the morning, we start our days, we should, whether we pray or not, and I encourage you to do that, but whether we should have an attitude of, amen, Lord, I yield myself to you today. I want your character in me today. Paint your picture on my heart today. And so this kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed. Oh, what seed did Jesus plant? What seed did the Lord bring to our hearts? Was it a seed that would turn us toward carnality, toward self-aggrandization? Is that the seed that he planted, or is it a seed that was the very love of God that called us to a higher plane? Isn't that what love does? Have you ever seen love, the effect of love? Have you ever seen the effect of love cause people to go downhill? Have you ever seen that? If you have, you've seen something I've never heard, never seen. I want to tell you, I believe that the effect of the love of God always lifts up, always calls away from the old carnal degradation of this world and points us to a higher plane. And that is the call of God on every one of our hearts here today. The Lord looks at you and I where we are, and we're all in different places. Our understandings are different. But God knows where you are, and He looks at you. Oh, He knows our name. And He comes down and knocks on your heart in the cool of the day and says, come aside. Just come and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you walk with me and you'll sit here and let's sit and talk for a little bit. You ever done that? Have you ever come away from an experience where you just sat and talked in His presence and you just communed with the Lord? Have you ever come away from that and felt discouraged? No, you always come away feeling strengthened and uplifted and inspired. And you said, amen, Lord. It's so easy to say amen when you've been alone with Him. It's so easy because He is the true lover of our soul. And it's just a natural thing to yield because He is the great God of heaven. The identity that was spoken of His, I think His predominant character, it says God is love. That's who He is. That's what He does. So this great God, this kingdom that He has come and brought and preaches to you and I and teaches us about, this kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed. And God has good intentions. God has good desires for you and I. My thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I see the path before you. I know the way I want to take you, and I will make your feet like hinds' feet. I will bring you to that place where today it looks like mountains that are too hard to climb. Today it may look like there's no way out, these crippled legs will ever get there. But I want to tell you, Jesus has a different message for the crippled legs. He has one of hope that says, I will make your feet like hinds' feet. I will cause you to walk upon my high places. There is hope for you today. And I don't know where you are today. Perhaps if you're here for the first time this morning, I want to welcome you and tell you, I'm glad you're here. If today somewhere in your heart, maybe you have an emptiness in there and you have a longing that you just haven't known what to do with. There's an answer for that here today. There's a God who loves you so much that He gave His Son that you might go free today, that you might have the satisfaction in your very soul. And when you walk away, walk out those doors, you're going to say, oh, thank the Lord. Feel so clean. I remember the day the Lord cleaned this old heart of mine. And how light it was to know He's still the same. There is still a message of that kingdom for every one of us today. The good seed that He has for us. Then he said these words, while men slept. But while men slept. And that struck me. I want to encourage you. You know, thank the Lord. If you're experiencing the love of God and His salvation in your life today, and you felt the touch of the Lord and His leadings, and Him coming and dealing with you and helping you to understand His ways, that's wonderful. But did you know you can go to sleep? And I want to really encourage us in this day we live in that we don't sleep. That we stay vigilant. While men slept, while we became easy, became lax, became less vigilant than what we used to be, the passion in my soul has begun to wane a little bit. And while men slept, there were effects that happened. There was an enemy that's walking around. And have you ever seen a pitchfork and a red suit and horns? I've seen the devil, but I've never seen the pitchfork and the red suit and the horns. I can't say I've seen him in physical form. I'm not saying that. But if you've met the devil, all of us have. Has he ever put on a cloak of self-righteousness? Has he ever come? Generally, he doesn't come up and shake your hand and say, "Hello, I'm the devil. I'm here to try to steal your soul." That's not what he does. He comes up and says, "Why can't you eat of that fruit? Look at it. Why not? It's beautiful. Surely, if God made something this beautiful, He intended you at least to enjoy the beauty of it. Let's step over here a little closer to this tree and let's look at it. Just look, it's a beautiful tree, isn't it? Oh, look at the colors on that. And oh, it is. Now, and then while men slept, it got more beautiful, got more enticing. While men slept, while the soul became lax, this other voice that I'm hearing, this enticing, this he didn't shake his hand, shake your hand and say, "Hello, I'm the devil, I'm here to destroy your life." That's not what he said. He came up and said, look, it's enticing. While men slept. Could I have a Kleenex box? I'm sorry. Is there one in here? I have a habit of needing those. Thank you. The devil will come in very enticing ways. And then he'll say, "But if you do this, actually, you just think about it for a little bit. If you do it, you're gonna have a greater understanding than you ever had before. And possibly if you do this, you'll have such greater understanding. You can even use that knowledge later on to help others as you work for the Lord, you see. This is a good thing." You see how the devil can be so wily? There's something that's better you never know. There's some pains that sin brings that it's much better that you never experienced. Much better. Now, I want to tell you, I thank the Lord for the testimonies of salvation. When Brother Sammons used to talk about the great salvation that the Lord brought to him, I rejoiced in that. But I rejoice even more greatly when I hear somebody say, "I got saved at 12 years old. And the Lord's kept me all these years." Because I know those people have avoided some pain in their life. I'm so grateful for that. It's part of the salvation. I will draw waters out of this well of salvation. I'll draw this joy out of the well of salvation. There's something that will satisfy our soul. It's found in Christ. It's part of the message we have for the whole world, that there's hope in Christ. There is something different than your repeated this repeated cycle of failure. There is something better. There is hope. While men slept, while enticements came and rocked me to sleep, and human reasoning got involved to the point that sin didn't seem as exceedingly sinful as what it used to be, we can begin to give a little space in our reasoning. I think sin ought to be recognized for its poison, every bit of poison that it is. It should be detested as much as what any rattlesnake should ever be detested. It should be avoided just as strongly. It should be never see how close you can come, because there's danger in that. I've seen people that seem to feel like they had a certain affinity for snakes, and they would take one and say, and try to take a camera up there and say, look how beautiful. Look at all the... There's nothing beautiful about sin. There's not even anything beautiful about it. Don't let the devil entice your mind. Don't get close enough that the devil says, look at this beautiful fruit. Because the farther you stay away from sin, the better off you'll be. The more joy, the less pain. Am I going to acknowledge that the Christian walk were because... Am I going to acknowledge that our human experience is pain? Yes. But also I'm going to tell you that in Christ, there's a mitigation of that pain. It's not the same as what it would be. When we walk in the path that the devil would draw us down, I want to tell you that's the path that leads to destruction. But there's another path that leads to life. There's one that inclines in this heavenly way. And that's the one I want to encourage all of you, all of us, to follow after. But while men slept, his enemy came, this devil came, and sowed tares among the wheat. And then he just went away and let the seeds grow. Isn't that what the devil does? He'll come along and set some seeds in your mind of discontent. Folks, I believe here this morning that every one of us, if we're willing to look inside and realize that we could all have reasons to feel like, well, you know, that person doesn't like me, or some seeds of discontent. You know what I'm talking about? I believe we can all say, well, you know, I can be offended. Don't do it. Don't do it. In fact, if you find that seed, do your best to root it out. Do your best to get rid of it, because that seed was sown by the enemy. And that seed was sown there for the intent to bring you to at least loss in your life, if not eternal destruction. That's the intent that the enemy comes and sows a seed, because the devil wants to cause us to feel eventually defeated to the point that we can't rise again. But the gospel is different than that. The gospel calls us to a place of great victory in the Lord. While men slept. And so I want to again repeat this phrase, because I can't tell you if you're sleeping today, but God can come in right now while we're sitting here and can point out places that perhaps you've become lax in your spirit. And I want our young people, I told the young men, I want them to be strong and vibrant, be strong and victorious in their life, but they're not the only ones I don't want to see that way with. I want every one of us to be strong and vibrant and victorious in our life. I don't want you to be... It's okay if you go to sleep on me in here, but don't go to sleep on Christ. It's okay for you to be drowsy. I understand. But there's one place we cannot get drowsy. And this is in our walk with the Lord. I can't allow the devil to rock me to sleep. Nor allow the seeds of bitterness or seeds of whatever the devil would like to sow in our heart. I can't allow that to stay there. When the Lord points it out, get a hold of it and start ripping it out. My grandpa years ago, and it rings in my heart every now and then when I think about it. One springtime, the corn was about that tall. And my grandpa was sharpening his hoe. And I said, "Grandpa, what are you going to do with that hoe?" His garden was immaculate. I never saw anything growing out there but what he wanted growing out there. And I said, "Grandpa, what are you sowing? What are you sharpening that hoe for?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I want to hoe the corn." I said, "Grandpa, those weeds aren't but that tall." He said, "That's the best time to get them." He said, "They die easy." There's a real point there. As soon as what you find something growing that shouldn't be there, that's the time. Because when it's small, it dies the easiest. Before, well, you can't hardly see it now, but just the other day I had blisters on this hand. You ever heard of a musk thistle? Y'all know? I'm a farmer, and out there in our pasture sometimes there, and the story that I hear about musk thistle is that it's a pretty plant. And somebody years ago in the early 1800s, what I've heard, I can't verify it, I didn't live back there, but what the story I've heard is that somebody was over in another area where that plant, over in Europe where it grew, and they saw it and they said, "That would look beautiful in my garden." And they brought it back to the United States. And we have been fighting the musk thistle ever since. It's sharp. It's ugly. It causes all kinds of trouble out there. It's considered a noxious weed. And I agree with it. It's a very noxious weed. And here I was. One plant can quickly grow and mature to seed and distribute many thousands of seed in a hurry. That's why it's insidious. It's just like sin. Just like sin. And once it grows up, I got blisters. I had blisters on my hand because I was out there cutting weed after weed after weed after weed after weed. And I could keep on for quite a while because that's what I had to do. I'm fighting to get rid of that. Tired of it. We ought to have that same anger toward the devil. Every time we find some of the enemy's seed growing in me, there ought to be a willingness to put blisters on your hands because I'm tired of what the devil's doing. I'm tired of fighting this thing. There's some anger where God's supposed to, there's some godly, righteous anger that the Lord wants us to have, and it should always be aimed toward the devil's intent. Anger is not intended for you and I to be angry with each other. Anger was given to us that it should be focused on the devil and what he's doing. And that's a righteous anger, and you have that all day long, young man. Go ahead, have that type of anger. As long as what is focused toward the devil, that's not a carnal thing. That's a God-given detesting of things of the devil. I'd encourage you to cultivate that and recognize places where the devil is at work. Don't go to sleep. While men slept, the enemy came along and he sowed some weeds that might look beautiful. Think it'd look good in your garden at home. I'm going to tell you, it's never going to look good. It's always going to do more than what you ever thought it would do. It would take more from you than you ever intended to give. Then, as it grew and appeared, the tares came up. Servants of the house said, "What's this I see?" You ever notice that sometimes in our own life, sometimes in each other, we recognize what's going on? Lord, help us each one. Tend our garden. You know, the best thing for to keep it from growing is to take care of it when it's young. Also, I did want to notice, and I'm quickly going to come here to the end this morning. Jesus told the story here that the householder, the owner of this, who had sowed good seed, when recognized that the enemy had slipped in some tares, and he was asked about this thing, he said, "The enemy has done this." Anytime you see something taken away from the glory of the Lord in your life, just let it be known and recognize that an enemy has done this. It's not the Lord. We can say, "Well, the Lord let me down." The Lord never let you down. The enemy came. It was the enemy that comes by. And then he was questioned about, "What do you want us to do with this?" And he said, "Let both grow together until the harvest." When we begin to realize both the love, what's the scripture says it more like this? He says, goodness and severity of God. What's the first part of that verse? Behold, there you go. Having a hard time. Thank you, Brother Philip. Behold both the goodness and severity of God. The love of God has caused him to love so much that he reaches out to mankind with great hope. Also, the severity of God lets us know that there is a time of reckoning. Today is the day of salvation. Now, and Jesus said he didn't come to judge the world. Part of the reason, isn't that what Jesus said? "I came not to judge, to condemn." Is that what it says? Didn't come. That's right. Didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. We know that. But what was it he came to offer? Salvation, didn't he? Deliverance from that condemnation. But there is also a day, and Jesus went ahead and let us know that. There's a time of judgment. There's a time when all this, we will be called to give account of the deeds that we've done in our body. What we have done today, there's an accounting, there's a time for this. And here it's spoken of, "I will let it grow together. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn. Bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Well, I believe that one of the things we can gain from this verse, understanding we can gain, is that there's a time of reckoning and a time, it said that to burn, you know, God hates it when there are things growing in people's lives. And it's not our job when we see maybe in the congregation, we see folks that I wish they'd do different, and we can go away with this idea that, "Oh, I need to shape up the church of God." Well, it's not my church, it's God's church. That doesn't mean it shouldn't be some kind influence that God wants us to give to one another. That's proper. But for me to bring you to a place and say that, you know, you're cut off, that's really not mine. That's God's place to own. But there is a time He will own that and exact from us. God is loving and long-suffering and very merciful. But there's a time that things come to its judgment moment. And I just want to tell you today that time is coming. That time is coming for every one of us. But along with that knowledge, I want you to know that today is a day of hope. That we can meet God today. There's an avenue when we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He rose for great hope of tomorrow. the burial. He showed there the death of the old man. And he came out of that grave. There is great hope, the resurrection, that you and I can live to a new man, not the old man. And I want to encourage you today that in recognition that there is a judgment coming, and we don't know when that is. You may die and meet your judgment before the world comes to an end. But if we all are here when he comes back through the clouds, and I believe he's going to do that someday, and I don't know when, nor do you, but I know this, that we can be ready, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, he didn't pick just a few. He said whosoever, and he meant every word of that. He didn't say, you, and you're too bad, you've just had too much stuff. No, he can save to the uttermost this morning, and I want to encourage you. May the Lord bless you. May these be words of not only encouragement, but inspiration to you today, that you might, if you are here today and you feel like that hope is gone, it's not. If you're here today and you're tired of the load that's in your soul, there's one who says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to encourage you, come today with wherever you are, whatever you're bearing, and bring it and lay it on this altar. And there'll be those who love you will come and gather around and pray with you that you'd have victory in your soul.